You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the Utah Jazz show the essence of what will make them great. Or at least really, really good. As their defense shuts down the Warriors, the crowd goes bananas and the Jazz get a win. We'll break down how they did it. A super game plan, an elite performance from a star. That's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers about the Jazz. You can get in your car, you can tell your smart device, say Siri, play podcast Locked On Jazz, or OK Google, play podcast Locked On Jazz. Alexa will do it for you. OK Google will do it for you as well. So do all those fun things and listen to Locked On Jazz. I got a bunch of bookkeeping, really exciting, fun things I want to do before the show gets started today. First, huge thank you. Uh-oh. Wait a second. Okay, Google, stop. There we go. This right here is a shirt that was made for me by a listener. And it says on it, pow. Totally cool. Love it. Thank you very much. Been meaning to wear it out for a while. Just hadn't got to because we're never home, seemingly. I don't know who it was, though. Like, it was dropped off to me, and whatever note or card or whatever was had to have was not with it. So whoever you are, let me know. Thank you. Totally cool. Second thing, super cool for you. We're going to make your Christmas extra special. Level 9 Sports has combined for a fun giveaway with Locked On Jazz. Just for you guys, nobody else. Really good chance to win, in other words. Go to l9sports.com/lockedonjazz. L9 Sports or level9sports.com/lockedonjazz. L9 Sports and win a pair of Vocal Mantra skis. Just fill out the form to the right-hand side. We're going to make it the day after Christmas to make you happy and give you something special. That's l9sports.com, l9sports.com/lockedonjazz. And you'll get there. You'll enter your email address, your first and last name, and through Google Forms, and we'll have you we just pulled this together, Mitch and I, last night to give you guys a chance to have a special little extra something for Christmas. So l9sports.com/lockedonjazz. Okay? I think those are the major bookkeeping issues for the day. Locked On Jazz Facebook group, I have totally failed, and I'm going to get moderators. Really super nice guy, Brett, came by last night. We're going to set up some standards. We're going to get it done, and we'll get the group back up and running. My apologies. All right. The Jazz defense is back on. It's back on. If we're going to be great, we are not going to be great because we're an offensive juggernaut. In fact, for the third straight game, our offense was under 100 in its efficiency rating. We are just not. It's not who we were. It's not who we were last year. It's not how the roster's made up, but it is made up of a world-class superstar defensively in Rudy Gobert, who was just amazing last night. Maybe one of the best games I've ever seen him play. And so many different plays to talk about, and such a smart, he's always been known as a smart player, but such a smart performance. But the world changed for the Jazz, and I think the schedule has prohibited us from knowing this. When the Jazz got blown out by the Sacramento Kings on the 21st, and they just ran by the Jazz. Since then, the Jazz have put together defense, they've put together, their first, second, third, fourth, ninth, 11th best defensive outings of the year. The last two defensive outings were incredible. The number one offense in the NBA in the Houston Rockets the last 20 games, and the Jazz held them to a 94.8, and the offense just didn't do enough. But they only lost by 5 on a night where they were scoring 89 points per 100 possessions. They only lost by 7 of the Magic scoring same. The defense both those nights were great. And now, against the Warriors, the defense was not as good, but it was against the offense came around a little bit. And the Jazz, the number one, Jazz defense against the number one offense in the NBA. The last two games, those are the two best offensive teams the NBA has right now, and the Jazz shut them both down. And had we hit a few threes in the first two games, Orlando and Houston, instead of shooting below 30%, we win. And frankly, I think the Jazz have virtually won every game recently that they shot over 30% from three. I'm not sure that's totally right, but I think that's right. When we shot 31 against the Spurs and lost. The defense wasn't good. But otherwise, we shot 33 to the Heat and lost. When we actually make an average threes, we win, which is kind of an up-and-down thing. But the defense has kicked in. Let me talk about Rudy last night. There was a play last night in which Durant drove, Rudy came out, bounce pass across the lane to Looney. Rudy goes from the right side to the left side and gets there and stops Looney. Looney kicks to Curry. Curry drives by over a ram of three. Rudy steps out, bounces back to Looney, who's still on the left side. Rudy comes over. He doesn't want to shoot again, so the bounce pass now comes across the lane to Draymond, and Rudy blocks the shot. Andy Larson had two plays in which Rudy playing the pick and roll differently last night came all the way out to the three-point line to deny Steph his shots. So last night, the Jazz changed their pick-and-roll coverage a little bit. Rudy used to always drop, 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 drop. Jazz feeling as though they've been exploited a little bit on mid-range shots, as well as Steph's incredible three-point shooting. And so what have they done? They changed it up a little bit, and they have Rudy playing up a little bit higher, and then he's got a much harder task. He's got to drop back if the ball handler comes at him and absorb, or he's got to get back to the roll man. And on two different occasions, he was able to get back to the roll man. And block Draymond Green. It's just remarkable. And then if you've ever wondered how smart Rudy is, on the final play of the game, really, before when Curry loses the ball out of bounds, the shot goes up. And I probably actually should go back and get this play exactly as it was to make sure I get it right. But the basic thing that jumped out to me was, well, first of all, if I have the play exactly right, this might be the McKinney three. So two things jump out. One, the Jazz had a very specific game plan that, simplifying it, they basically aren't guarding Draymond, and they're not guarding whoever, Jarebko, McKinney, Looney, who's on the floor. And so what the Jazz are trying to do, really, they're forcing Rudy to defend three guys at once, and he does it beautifully. Then, on the final three or four plays of the game, the Jazz end up with 2:23 left in the game, 6-point game. The Jazz defense is so good that McKinney ends up taking the three. Okay, that's great. He missed it. Then Iguodala misses a three with 7 seconds left in a three-point game. And this is where, if you've ever wondered how incredibly smart Rudy Gobert is, this play tells you. So if you watch this play, and I'm gonna run by it, I'm gonna watch it while it happens. Crowder is doing a great job on Durant. Rubio is on Curry. Ingles starts on Iguodala. They swing it over to Klay Thompson, and boy, did Donovan do a great job on him. They run a play where Klay Thompson starts the dribble drive. Iguodala runs by him, adds for some confusion. Thompson jumps up, throws the pass over to Iguodala for a wide-open three. He's hitting 50% this year. It sure feels like we're about to be tied. And Iguodala's wide open, and he misses it. Rebound battle. Curry gets it with about 5 seconds left. Rudy is under the basket. That is what Rudy does. And Rudy immediately sprints out to the corner. Rubio is on Curry. And as Gobert sprints to the corner, realizing that there's 5 seconds left in the game and that he doesn't need to protect the basket anymore because you're trying to deny a three at this point. So attuned to what's taking place, he sprints out. As Curry gets to the corner, Rubio's on his top side, and Curry turns to try to figure out he's going to get a shot off. Gobert's running at him, and Curry loses the ball out of bounds. That is just a heady, smart, brilliant play. I had to catch myself the other day. I was looking at the standings, worrying about the Jazz, no differently than you guys. And I looked at the standings and I was like, wow, how are we going to do this? And I'm looking at the Western Conference and I'm looking and I'm like, Denver's got Jokic, he's a star. Thunder have Russell, and I don't think he's really a star, but they have Paul George. Warriors, Lakers have LeBron. Excuse me. Throat's a little tired. Portland's got Lillard. All right, Clippers are a team. Rockets have Harden. It was after Harden beat us. Spurs, not that worried about. We just don't have that. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We do. His name is Rudy Gobert. He's a top-level player in the NBA, as I've preached time and time again. And he wins games for us like last night. That Rudy Gobert last night put out a 47-point performance, no differently than James Harden did for the Rockets. Now, a bunch of other guys on our team were really, really good last night. And the guard play that has become much better up top is allowing for the Rudy to have his impact. But we have that star, and his name is Rudy Gobert. All right, I'll get to your questions. A few more thoughts on the game in just a second. Remember to follow the Locked On NBA Net on Instagram and on Twitter. Instagram, we do all sorts of fun, interactive, answering questions from fans, as well as the 60 seconds of the biggest stories all on the feed. Excuse me, on the stories and the feed with longer form. And then the Locked On NBA Net on Twitter is 100% all the feeds of every host on the Locked On Podcast Network. So check it out. Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending. Amazing growth in the last year from 2 branches to 11. Why? Because they get things done. Why do real estate agents send people to Intercap? Because they close. What do real estate agents want you to do? Close. If you're working with an agent, they're not sending you to Intercap, ask them why. Steve Carter keeps getting these great reviews. Clayton and Sarah Winslow, Steve Carter at Intercap Lending did a fantastic job with a refi for Sarah and I. The process was seamless, very quick. We reached out with a time crunch and really made it happen. Intercap/Steve is the best, by far, best mortgage company we've dealt with, and we'll recommend it to anyone who needs a refi. Brad Hickman, Intercap Lending was the best experience I've had refinancing a home loan. Steve Carter gave detailed options custom for my own situation. The loan process was made easy by the experience, knowledge, timelessness, personal nature of Steve and other members of Intercap Lending. If you're looking for mortgage options, give them a call. All right, here's the number. 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. It's intercaplending.com. That's 385-885-28. Intercap Lending, NMLS, number 190465 is intercaplending.com. Today's show is also brought to you by Shamrock Auto. Rob wants me to just tell you about this family that they're doing so many great things for it, but I want to take a second, remind you who Shamrock Auto is, and then I'll tell you more about the family. Shamrock Auto is a nearly new, slightly used car, Pleasant Grove, Utah. Rob started with Brady Kimball, his technician. He went and found the perfect guy who's been buying cars for all and technician background to make sure that everything got was quality. They're out in Pleasant Grove. If you're looking for a car, have Rob help you out. They pride themselves on incredible customer service, and they pride themselves on a quick, easy transaction. And look at their Google reviews. It's amazing. Now, what Rob really wants me to talk to you about is the homies. The honeys. The Honeys are a family that have 3 boys with muscular dystrophy, and Rob, along with others, and Brady Kimball and the crew over at Shamrock Auto have worked with a lot of different people, and they're getting them a car with a lift just to change their lives completely. And if you have the giving spirit in you, Rob wants to let you know about gofundme.com/help-the-honeys-for-the-holidays. Kind of got it. Help the Honeys for the holidays. Help the Honeys for the holidays. Put the dashes in between each word at GoFundMe.com. The story is really something else. And Rob and his group over at Shamrock have committed to this and are just why our community is so fabulous. And there's a nice little explanation of what they're trying to do. But Bill, basically, it's just incredible. They lost one son to the disease in February of 2015. They've got 3 other kids, and so they are Shamrock Auto giving them a vehicle along with a lift that helps them get their kids in and out of the car, just change their lives completely. That's, again, GoFundMe.com. Help the honeys for the holidays and put a dash in between each of those words. All right, let's get to your comments and your questions. Glad to have you. Thank you. Nothing drives me more crazy than seeing people complain on Twitter after beating the Warriors. Well, I finally snapped the other day and started blocking people on Twitter for the first time in like years when people were mocking the discussion of the schedule. So, you know, we still got a long way to go. One win doesn't make it. And frankly, I bet you if you look at my road to 45, I'll bet, or road to 52, which is, I think, a little bit high. It's four games more than Vegas thought, but it was a goal. I think if you look at the road to 52, I think what you would see is that we are, that was a win. Like, that was actually a game we had to win. Let me check. I haven't updated the road, and Orlando would have been a loss. Last time I did the road to 52 was 12-9. So that was after we lost at San Antonio. The loss at Oklahoma City was projected to be a loss. Then we came home and beat Miami, and that was a projected home win. So projected win to date one, actual win to date one. Okay. Then we went on the road to play Orlando, and that was a projected win, and we did not get it. So that's bad. Then we went to Houston, where we had two games there, projected wins zero, projected wins to date zero, actual win one. And then let's look at what we had for Golden State at home. Two homes, projected win zero, projected win to date zero, actual win to date one. All right, did not have us beating Golden State this year. All right, we are still on exact pace. If we've won 15 games and my numbers are right, we are on pace to win 52 games according to the map of how to get to 52. If we win 52 games, we got a chance to still be home court advantage, or maybe even a chance to be the 2 or 3 seed. Like, that's, I just don't think Denver's winning 55, and I don't think Oklahoma City's winning 55. Never did. And never thought the Jazz were running away, by the way. I think this is really important. I was actually talking to a fairly important Jazz executive about this the other day, that I'm actually surprised. Somehow we lost when Kevin Pelton came out with his projections that the Jazz would be number two in the West, and I came out with my projections that the Jazz could be number two in the West. I think we lost what that meant. And what it meant was that the Rockets were coming back to the pack, right? It wasn't, I've said this a lot, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it a lot. It wasn't that the Jazz were running away. I'm pulling up Pelton right now. So Pelton had, and this is the Warriors at 60 and the Jazz at 53. So that's high. Now, you also have the Jazz offense is slightly better than average with a great number one defense, and we'll see if they can do that again. He had the Rockets at 51, the Denver Nuggets at 51, Minnesota at 49, Thunder at 46, Pelicans at 44, Lakers at 42, because it doesn't understand LeBron. Same thing mine did. So it wasn't like we were going to catch anyone. It was that instead everyone's coming down the pack. We had a chance to be the best team in the pack. We frankly probably still have that. Could you break down some numbers on transition offense for the Jazz? It feels like it's an area where we struggled. Yep, you are right. We are really, that is the offensive difference between the Utah Jazz this year and last year. The Jazz are actually better in the half court this year. If you look at Cleaning the Glass website, the Jazz half court offense last year is actually better, as I just said. They are 18th in the league. Last year, they were 20th. Pretty similar half court, kind of where you'd expect them to be. The off a live rebound, the Jazz last year were the third in the league in offensive efficiency off a live rebound. This year, they're 28th. And in transition last year, they were 6th. And last year and this year, they're 22nd. What's interesting is we're actually running more this year than we did last year. We're from 19th to 15th. And we're running a little bit more on our live rebounds as well. So, interesting kind of, as we run more, we're less good at. We had two terrible transitions last night that almost cost us the game. Royce O'Neal had a 4-on-1. He went 1-on-1, got blocked by Livingston. We had another one, which I don't remember exactly what happened, but it led to a Steph bucket on the other side. When you blow transition, it's 2 points the other way. That actually is one I would talk about. When you blow transition, boy, it comes. I feel like that's like turning the ball over, high quadrant, layup the other way. Good win last night. I remember last year you had a stat that Mitchell's passes were creating some of the best expected shot value in the league. How does that stat look this year? I looked at it a while back when we were really struggling and we had two of the top five guys in the league. The stat I do love is QSQ, and I always love to look at it every night. So let's go take a second and look at the other night against the Rockets was incredible how bad our shooting was. I mean, just about unprecedented. When you looked at the QSQ last night, our QSQ was 55.1 quality. So what QSQ is they call it quantified shot quality. It measures the likelihood of any shot going in if the average player took it. So last night we had a 55.1. The Warriors had a 52.6. So we got better looks than the Warriors. Now they have better players. But they were actually minus 7 off what they should have been. We were minus 6.7. Neither team shot well last night. Passes to shooter. Player. Highest QSQ. Joe Ingles is third. Dante Exum is fourth. Jay Crowder is fifth. Donovan Mitchell is eighth. Royce O'Neal is 10th. Ricky Rubio is 12th. Think it might have something to do with the system. All right, I know you guys don't like him, but the number one player in the league, QSQ passing by a significant margin, James Harden. He just does everything. James Harden. Then Josh Jackson, Phoenix. Then Joe Ingles, Dante Exum, Jalen Brunson, Dallas. Malik Monk, Charlotte. Jay Crowder, J.J. Barea, Dallas. Donovan Mitchell, Utah. Luka Doncic, Dallas. Royce O'Neal, Ricky Rubio, Utah. Has to do a system. So, we're not good at taking care of the ball. I got asked about this the other day by Jake and Gordon. But we're throwing passes that lead to the best shot looks of any team in the league. So, it's hard to evaluate what all that means. Our QSQ on passes to the shooter is 58.2. Houston's next, then Dallas, then Atlanta, then Oklahoma City. And we just don't knock them all down. We're not as bad. We're 0.7. Overall, our shooting this year, if you look at this statistic, which is quality of shots compared to end result, we still have the best QSQ in the league at 54.7. Houston's next, then Milwaukee, then Atlanta, then Dallas, then Oklahoma City. We're minus 1.9, which means that our group is shooting the fifth worst of any team in the league. Atlanta, Detroit, Oklahoma City, Miami, Utah as shooters. Not great. But what's incredible is I think if you look at our ranking, we're up near the top of effective field goal percentage. Because we get to the rim and we shoot threes. We shoot smart shots. Have the Jazz turn the corner. So, Jeremy, I don't ever think we're on the other side of the corner. I think we got hit with a brutal schedule. As I just showed you a minute ago, if you actually look at the games in the realm of a 52-win team, which is probably high, we've won and lost pretty much as many games as we should. We've won more than games we shouldn't have, and we've lost games we shouldn't have to the equal rate. So there's no corner to turn. Can you elaborate a little on Exum being effective against switching teams, but not when people drop the big, and what we need to work on to fix that? That is a great question, Mark, because we're going to see it in our next game. Let me talk about it in just 1 second. Today's show is brought to you by the store. It's not Friday. Tomorrow's Friday. June pie. Tomorrow! The June pies are coming. Ron was down there with Justine the other day at the store picking up all their holiday shopping and all their needs, having a great time at the store. Check it out, 6200 South, 20th East. Give the kids that are rolling the carts out the night with the elderly people taking their groceries to their car like a great community store should. A little high five on your way in. Start on the right-hand side. Grab a mudslide cookie. Yeah, there's kombucha and cold brew tabs right there if you want it. Then go grab your little sweets, the June pie cake. The pies are all over there, like the good sweet pies, the cut, you know, And then work your way back. The coffee section's there. As you move off to your left in the very back, you've got all the meat section. Oh, the La Colombe cold brews right there. You've got all the meat sections. They did this big tasting test. It got to get the best things. That sums it up. Jeff and Scott and Amy all there are making sure that they get the best of everything for you. Local, produced, best items they can find. If you're hungry at the time, you can go get some of the hot meals they have in the back. The butchers are all there to help you out, and you work your way around. There's the freezer in the back with all of the pre-made things for you. If you want to exhausted after the holidays, have some pre-made items for you. And then pick up my Lox favorite. I love that orange juice that's there. The kombucha stand is all there. It's all fabulous. It's at the store. It's 6200 South and 20th East. 6200 South, 20th East. Get that mudslide cookie. Tell me what you think of it. All right, so against switching defenses, particularly switching defenses that lift the big. So Draymond Green, Clint Capella, Dante has been terrific. Why? Because Dante's got an electrifying first step that makes that is elite. I've said this about Dante every time you ever watch him play. There is never any question of why he was the fifth pick of the draft. Now, whether this is going to turn out to be, well, actually, in that draft turned out to not be great. So that was a good pick by Dennis and Kevin O'Connor and whoever, I don't remember who was with at the time. Now, whether what he turns out to be, I still don't have the slightest idea. And frankly, a lot of the projections at this point, 200 games into his career, aren't great. But when you look at his skill set, he's got amazing length, insane first step, and electrifying quickness. So when he goes and gets a switching defense where a slower guy ends up on him, and if it's a switching defense, it usually means the big is now switched out to a guard, so the big is lifted. Dante goes, beats the guy. There's no secondary defense in which Dante has to make a read. And Dante goes and just beats him and scores. And Dante at the rim this year has not been great, but it feels like it's better recently. He's back at 55%. He needs to be up to 60%, but it feels better than it has been. He's at 46% of his shots at the rim, which is awesome. So that's why he beats that. Now, when he comes out the pick and roll, and when he and Favors have maybe the best combination on the team right now, when he comes off the pick and roll, if, as we'll see against Portland, when Nurkic drops, and Nurkic just drops all the way back right to the rim, now Dante doesn't have a way to get to the basket. He kind of ends up out of control or fading back or fading to the side. He throws up this wild shot, and then he shoots 55% at the rim. He doesn't have a pull-up game. They're trying to get him to develop a 3- to 10-foot game. Right now he's shooting 25% on that, so that doesn't work. He doesn't have enough hours on the floor in games in his career to have a natural feel for where to always find the open man. He made some really nice passes against both Houston and Golden State, and the kind of opposite against Orlando, who dropped the big. So it's just completely different decision-making. You know, one thing Quinn's been talking a lot about off the air is how much you're impacted by the randomness of who you play. So, and what he means by this is, let's take the Jazz last sequence of games. So Jazz plays San Antonio, who drops the big. Or let's take the sequence. You play Houston, who switches. You go to San Antonio, they drop the big. You go to Oklahoma City, where they play their big up blitzing on a, without a shoot around. Now you come back home to Miami, who, I don't really, if Hassan Whiteside's playing, they drop the big. They generally drop the big. You get Orlando the next night, they drop the big. Now you finally get two in a row. You begin to feel, you can go sit and watch. And then, so Orlando, you go and sit with Ricky Rubio and Donovan Mitchell and you watch film. And then the next night you're playing Houston, who switches everything. Not anymore, less than they used to. And so it's not this, now it's all convoluted. Then you come back home and you play Golden State, who predominantly switches. So we actually had back-to-back games against teams that did similar things, and suddenly our offense was good. Now we go to Portland. Portland's is as big a drop-big team as there is. Watch Nurkic on the pick and roll. He just drops back, and they force you to take these mid-range shots and make these reads that are different. Like, Donovan couldn't get that mid-range shot last night because Golden State doesn't give that to you. Then we'll play Oklahoma City, where they come up in the big is Steven Adams, and he's so active, and he's big, and he's huge, and he's all over you, and he's up front, and his hands are going everywhere. And then we'll go play Portland, who drops the big, and then we'll get actually Philadelphia, who drops the big, and I don't know what New York does. And then Toronto drops the big. Unless Siakam's in, then they switch. So there's some level where there's kind of, if you think about it right now, there's three primary defenses in the NBA. They're switching, dropping the big, where the big goes all the way back to the on the pick and roll, or third is kind of an aggressive big out on the pick and roll, kind of not blitzing it, but that style. Those are, in the simplistic terms, the three defenses that exist in the NBA. And it's interesting to see whether or not you get any of them by luck back to back to back, and that helps you out. Stuart with some nice comments. Thank you very much. Jonathan, go Jazz, you bet. I want snow on Christmas. We don't play till late. I can go skiing. Exum has a difficult time hitting the three-pointer, even attempting them when he's open. If Snyder's okay with this, if he can still get to the hoop, or is it something he's actively working on? He and Jeff Watkinson are doing huge work. Dante's completely committed to getting better. I mean, he's really doing it. He's just really, really working. And so hopefully we're going to see some of that come together. Dante clearly does not have a great deal of confidence in his three-point shot right now and sees himself being able to do anything. He has not taken a three in four of his last six games, I think it is. He's not made a three in six of his last seven. So that's, you know, right now that's not an aspect where he clearly feels very good about his game. I think he's made a three in four of his last, like, 15 games. He just is not taking very many. In the last 15 games, Dante has taken 15 threes. So, one a game. I think the problem the Jazz are having this year is they play the level of their opponents. Are the Jazz going to be active in acquiring another guy capable of creating his own shot? Seems like it would be very beneficial in taking some of the pressure off Donovan. Yeah, I mean, it's really somewhat unheard of, the burden we're asking out of Donovan Mitchell right now. So that would be nice. But who are those? Like, that'd be nice. Now let's get to the next one. Like, who are those guys? It's not possible. You don't just go get that guy. That's not an easy call in any way, shape, or form to be able to go get that guy. Like, who are we talking about? Like, just go, let's just go find someone who can create his own shot who's great. Like, I'm sure they'll just give him to us. Brian, nice to meet you yesterday. I think that's who you are. What concerns me at the time is that when they need to close a game out in the last 2 or 3 minutes, the wheels really come off. When they play slow to waste clock, it makes closing out a good team incredibly difficult. Well, I mean, Quinn Snyder out of timeout last night had one of the best plays you'll ever see. I mean, a real masterpiece. They came out of a timeout. They hadn't scored. Quinn set up a beautiful play, and they got a Rudy Gobert dunk on it. But it's hard. You know, yes, we were doing a very good job of using the second side offensively, and then for a while there it got pretty stagnant. Teams' defenses usually change late in game, so some of your offensive systems don't work quite the same way as they would otherwise. The Rudy Gobert dunk play last night, I'll have to post this play. This is incredible. Rubio's at the top. In the far left corner is Donovan. No, in the far left corner is Crowder. Ingles is on the right elbow. Gobert is on the left elbow. Let me start that again. I had my guys wrong. Crowder's in the far left corner. Donovan comes off Ingles, who's on the right elbow, and curls to the right sideline. So everyone is feeling that action right there. You can see the defense is switching that way. Ingles then leaves. The Warriors don't switch it, so Ingles has space. Durant, by the way, for whatever reason, is guarding Rubio. And as Ingles runs out, Draymond switches off of Gobert to go get Ingles, and Rudy reads it perfectly, slips the pick. Rubio throws the pass on the money for a slam dunk, and that was really the biggest play of the night. I'll tweet that shot out here in a little bit. That wraps us up. Thanks very much for tuning in. L9Sports.com/LockedOnJazz. That's L9Sports.com/LockedOnJazz for your chance to win a free pair of skis. Nothing complicated. Just L9Sports.com/LockedOnJazz for you to win a free pair of Vocal Mantra skis. Fill out the form. We'll announce the winner the day after Christmas and make somebody really, really happy. Thank you very much for tuning into the show today. Have a great day. We'll talk to you from Portland tomorrow.